Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Welcome to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call, the first Tuesday of September 2016. Welcoming each and every one of you to tonight's call, the last month of the third quarter, and this is definitely a month you want to finish strong as you move into the last quarter of 2016. This is the month you absolutely turn the corner on your year. I have very unique content that I seldom ever cover on how to master the art of listening. I'm going to cover for you tonight how to hear the pauses, how to hear people check out, how to understand the words they use that keep them in non-commitment, how many people aren't able to separate being able to hear what's meant and hear what's said. I'm going to cover in great detail how to improve your auditory skills. Before I do that, I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, and then we'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. For those of you who have coached with me in the past, I host a Breakthroughs to Success event 4 times a year. I have 2 more events in the calendar year 2016. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday will mark Breakthroughs to Success number 114, meaning in a 16-year period, I've hosted 114 intimate events for 30 to 50 people, for people that are my coaching clients. There are still openings for the event in September. You could slip into it at the last minute. The last Breakthroughs of 2016 is December 8th, 9th, and 10th. That event is reserved for anyone who's ever coached with me and has not accessed that event. It is free to any of those of you who coached me, and it absolutely is a game changer. Next Saturday, I will be in Clark, New Jersey with Dawn Ferrantino. Dawn is an exceptional woman. If you haven't seen Dawn speak in 2016, she has unequivocally taken her inspirational career to mastery. Dawn is a first-class woman, a multiple six-figure income earner, a mompreneur, a coach, and a mentor, and I have the privilege of sharing the carpet with her next Saturday and several other events in 2016 moving on to 2017. September 24th, I'll be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I want to thank Abby O'Neill, who's having me speak for the first time in my life in New Hampshire, and what an honor that will be. October 1st, I'll be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I want to thank Jeremy Engel. It'll be the first time in Milwaukee in 6 years. October 8th, I'll be in Long Island with Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz. Joy and Kelly are both exceptional women. I also want to note that Joy is going to be a guest on my call on September 20th. She has unequivocally earned it. Joy is the mother of 2 twin daughters, a single mompreneur, a multiple six-figure income earner, a veteran of free enterprise, and a first-class woman who I will be interviewing on September 20th. She has been a great supporter of my events for the last 3 years and has teamed up with Kelly Bartoletti and many other of my friends and clients to bring people to events. On, let's see, October 15th, I'll be in Columbia, South Carolina, and I want to thank Carlotta Davis for hosting that event for me. October 22nd, I will be in Tampa, Florida with C.G. Siddons. C.G. absolutely crushed it in Philadelphia in a very brief appearance, and it was great content. And CG and I will be doing a one-day event in Tampa, Florida. That is the first time they'll ever speak in Tampa. I've spoken in Estero, Fort Myers, and other areas, other cities close, but never have I had the opportunity to speak in Tampa. That's going to be a great event right at the Tampa Airport at the Marriott. October 29th, Missoula, Montana, with Scott, Aaron, and myself. That'll be a fabulous event. November 12th, I just added Dallas, Texas. That is going to be another fabulous event. I haven't spoken in Dallas in many years, and Carla Ashley is going to be the host of that event for me. Carla's first time hosting event, that will be Dallas, Texas. November 19th, Weehawken, New Jersey. December 3rd, Atlanta, Georgia. And December 17th, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Those are the events for 2016. 2016, and I will be unveiling 2017's schedule in the very near future. You can mark your calendar for April 15th. Tickets will be going on sale very soon for Dr. Joe Dispenza. I will be sharing the stage with Dr. Joe for the fifth time in my career, and for those of you who had the privilege of seeing Dr. Joe with Alexis and I back in March, he absolutely had mind-blowing information. That was a term people were using as they were going out the door. This is mind-blowing. He's going to be my guest on October 18th on this call. It'll be the precursor to that event next spring. And for any of you who would like to take advantage of a free 15-minute coaching session, I offer that to first-time callers who haven't experienced the opportunity to find out how I can assist you, give you insight into cause and effect, why you do what you do, how to be much better at your ability to articulate your feelings into words, how to be able to be a better brander, how to be able to be a better coach, mentor, speaker, and overall much more effective as a business woman, man, and a human being. If you'd like to take advantage of one of those 15-minute coaching sessions, inbox me on Facebook with your phone number and be specific on what you'd like me to assist you with. With that, we will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Now, tonight's call is unique for me because the topic of tonight's call, listening mastery, well, listening is a very undeveloped topic. If you go to any bookstore or go online, you will find that there are very few books written on the topic of listening. It's a very undeveloped skill, yet a skill that when mastered can bring you great results and great dividends. Listening is a lost art. There are not a lot of people who are master listeners. And if you become one of them during, after, or in the very near future, then you will be in the law of the few. A large percent of society are checked out. And one of my top clients said to me recently, Jeff, before I met you, I had no idea how many people were checked out. And some of you have even said that to me before. Being checked out means, I mean, it's synonymous with being overwhelmed, tiptoeing quietly through life, not being attentive, not being in the game, not being in flow, unorganized, undisciplined. And unfortunately, that is a large percent of society. When I say listening is a skill, it's not a skill taught in schools, universities. Seldom will you find a speaker who addresses listening. And as I said, there are very few books written on the topic of listening. I have a library of multiple thousands of books in custom bookcases, and if you go to my custom bookcases, you will find a spot that has listening, all of two books. And I have become a master listener over my lifetime. Now, if you're not skilled at listening, there's a high probability that you grew up in a household where listening was not a priority. If you grew up in a household where there was a lot of noise, there was an overwhelmed state, you were put in a position that you had to validate, justify, and explain yourself. If you were criticized, if there was violence, any multitude of situations, there's a high probability that you started checking out. You were not attentive. If you daydreamed a lot, if you were in class, you weren't attentive, you weren't paying attention, you got bored, there's a high probability that it affected your ability to listen. Listening is an auditory skill. It means it's done with your ears. Listening is also done with your intuition. Listening is also done with your trust. When you start to develop your auditory skills, your ability to trust your feelings based on repetition, experience, being comfortable with yourself, it enhances your ability to listen. Now, the military actually has courses specifically designed for people who have great listening skills. I tested for this at one point, and I found that if I would have wanted to go forward in that type of career, I would have been able to advance relatively quickly into a training program for master listeners. A master listener is someone who has not only auditory skills, but highly acute skills, being able to connect and trust their feelings. When you start to develop your listening skills, you start to hear clearly what people mean, not only what they say. As you become aware, as you become present, as you start to live in the now, you will start to hear a whole different communication that the world speaks to themselves and to others. When you start to be attentive and you own a business that requires communication skills, you'll start to hear indecision in people's communication. A large percent of the American populace, Canadian populace, uses a series of words and sounds that telegraph their inability to commit. As you become commitment conscious, you'll also understand how many people are commitment phobic. A large percent of the population has challenges committing, and they will telegraph their inability to commit by a series of sounds and words. Here are some words that you listen for that will allow you to understand when someone's not committed. Kinda, sorta. These sounds and words show up frequently in mid-sentence. Kinda is K-I-N-D-A, sorta is S-O-R-T-A, and they're derivatives of the words kind of and sort of. So many people insert those words in the English structure, and then they're bastardizing a sentence, and you'll find out that a large percent of the population also insert the word guess in mid-sentence. A large percent of the population will say, I don't know, at the end of a sentence, and they will say, I don't know, mid-sentence. Many people end a sentence like this, I don't know. And so when they say, I don't know, what does that actually mean? When someone's inserting guess mid-sentence, what does that mean? It means that they're in doubt. It means they're indecisive. And when you're communicating with them, when you're presenting a business, an opportunity, a benefit, a feature, a product, and a service, what's your responsibility, the ability to respond, to be able to hear what's meant while you're hearing what is said? Being a master listener requires patience. It requires dedication. It requires the ability to hear what's meant as you're hearing what's said. It means you have to learn to slow down. It means you're checked in, not checked out. But most importantly, it means you're attentive. Now, if you're right-handed, that means you have two ears. If you're right-handed, you should learn to listen with the non-dominant ear, your left ear. You should be able to tilt your head a little because you were taught how to read left to right. And if you're typically going to lead with your left foot energetically in your body, if you stand flat-footed and if your feet are side by side and you're not putting any energy forward and your back is leaning back, it's going to also inhibit your ability to listen. You want to lean forward an inch or so, and you want to turn your head just a little. You cock your head a little so that you can hear what's meant, not said. I'm going to keep saying this. You want to hear what's meant. Y-E-A-H, I'll get back to ya. I'll get back to you. What does that actually mean? Typically it means that the person is not interested, not serious, not committed. They're telling you what they think you want to hear. They're giving you a blow-off signal. They're using yeah, Y-E-A-H, not yes, which does not edify a commitment. I'll get back to ya, Y-A-Y-E-A, however they use that last term. And what that means is they're not really serious. And many of you give people a benefit of the doubt rather than trusting your feelings. Then you end up following up with people who aren't committed. You waste time with people who are interested, not serious. And then you get disappointed because the people that you have conversation with, you didn't really hear what went on that conversation. If you enter into communication or conversation yourself checked out, overwhelmed, in anxiety, based on a past event, then you haven't separated your feelings from the events that shaped your anxiety. As you begin to let go of your anxiety, you will begin to hear differently. I know that a large percent of my life is an addict of drugs and alcohol. I was completely checked out. I would listen to music, but never really hear the words. It was amazing to me about my third year of sobriety. It dawned on me how I was much more attentive to hearing the song Hotel California. I had never really heard the words to that. And go and listen to the words tonight. Listen to the words, how interesting they are. Have you ever heard the entire song Stairway to Heaven? Well, these are some old classic or rock classics. What does that song actually mean? As you start to understand the meaning of it, it gives a whole different level of significance. And you'll be amazed how much more aware you are and the conversation that you start to hear as you become attentive, present, in the now and in the know. As you start to develop your auditory skills, it's like you hear a whole different universe. But to be able to do this, you have to silence your inner critic, let go of your own judgment. But if you check out mid-sentence anxious about what you're going to say, who you're going to be, what you're going to do, if you try to predict what's going to happen before it's happened, then you're trying to control the outcome, then instead of being able to be in command of the outcome, you're in control of being out of control, and you miss a lot of what is meant. Unfortunately, this is what happens to a lot of want-to-be success seekers who aren't really in the game. You want to be able to listen without any filters that hinder you. So if you have a story about what's going to happen, it inhibits your ability to listen. You have to be able to, you've heard this term, be able to have relaxed intensity, but also you have to have no attachment. Now, that's in itself, that's somewhat contradictory because you require results. You require an outcome. But being attached is being detached, and letting go of attachment allows you to be able to listen a lot better. As you begin to become a master listener and a master asker in the same conversation, in the same communication, you become a lot more aware. The more aware you become, the more you transcend levels of consciousness. As you let go of anxiety, fear, and doubt about outcomes that haven't happened, it changes your energy. Your emotional, energetic vibration begins to change. This is also significant because people begin to show up differently. They begin to show up differently because you begin to transmute a different set of energy that you're present, you're available, you're here. You become a person of significance. You're able to transmute that you have influence and affluence. You're no longer living in anxiety. But specifically, you no longer have a gap and a delay in your communication style. When you're communicating with someone who uses a lot of pauses in their sentence structures, they use they use over and over, it means they're checking out. When you're communicating with people who don't finish their sentence, they start one sentence and they're on to another sentence. Also, be attentive when you're communicating with people, how many people ask not only one question, but they'll ask 3, 4, 5 questions in a sequence. They don't have any periods in their sentences. I was doing a 15-minute coaching call with a prospect today, and the prospect asked me 3 questions in a row before I interrupted them by using their first name. I said, "Susan, you asked me 3 questions. What question do you want me to answer first for you?" She had no idea that she was in the middle of a drunkalogue. Unfortunately, that is a lot of people's communication style. Not only are they not attentive, they don't listen, and you ask a large percent of society a question, and they answer the question in a story. Now, it's your responsibility to hear what's meant right that's going on there. Typically, that means that person is emotionally addicted to a set of feelings based on past events that they have to validate, justify, and explain themselves. You ask them how the weather was, and they tell you a whole story. They forget the question you ask. Now, it's your responsibility to say, "Susan, I appreciate what you just shared, but how was your day?" And then oftentimes they go, "Huh." See, when you start to have that kind of influence, then you have a command of the conversation. You're the person with influence and affluence. You're able to easily and effortlessly have a communication, have a conversation with people, and then you're telegraphing how comfortable you are. When you're in anxiety, you can't possibly be a master listener because you're overwhelmed with an outcome from a past event that you're projecting into the future that also hasn't happened, so you can justify a set of feelings that will keep you emotionally addicted. As you learn to separate your feelings from the events that shape them, then you're no longer the mind-body connection that keeps you overwhelmed, making mistakes, getting in trouble. A large percent of the population is challenged listening because they're so consumed with failing. Failure also represents trouble. In essence, though, a lot of people's anxiety about failure is really anxiety about succeeding. Failure is used to mask a low self-esteem, and acute anxiety about succeeding, because success would contradict struggle. If you've been a noble struggler, an addicted struggler, and struggle has become a way of life, and you've waved the noble struggler flag, well, automatically success would contradict that. How am I going to keep it? How am I going to hold on to it? How am I going to be successful in the future? This is typically the kind of self-talk that overwhelms a large percent of the population. So that you can be the exception and you can be in the law of the few, you want to teach yourself how to become a master listener. Acute listeners who are very skilled at asking, the two go hand in hand. Not only are you skilled at asking, but you're skilled at listening, so that you can adapt and adjust to the communication at hand. You're able to easily and effortlessly decipher what's going on. You're easily and effortlessly able to read a situation for what it is with no judgment, objectively. Your agenda isn't the way of the result. You're able to adapt and adjust and ask a question based on an answer. And as you're able to do that, you hear the answer, ask the question. This is all part of the natural flow and the ebb of evolution, of being able to become a master listener, master asker. Now reflect back in your past. Is there anyone in your circle of influence that was a great listener? I can look back and I can't really tell anyone that it was for me. I started to become an exceptional listener in my early 30s. I became voracious about becoming a sales professional, about network marketing and direct sales. I devoured every possible book I could on selling. But I realized that I wasn't that great of a listener. I was above average, but I determined in my mid and early 30s that I was going to become a master listener. Now, maybe you've seen movies where you've seen a Native American put his head down to the ground and hear the buffalo coming, or you've seen movies of people in the jungle in the forest and they hear the twig snap. Well, that's an auditory skill. When you have that kind of talent, and you start to bring it into free enterprise in your life, there are some key ways that you can really start to master your listening. First of all, you want to learn to be present and be silent. I know that many of my clients have gone to some of Dr. Joe Dispenza's advanced events, and they've learned how to meditate for a number of hours. And at first, it may look challenging, difficult, or whatever your egoic mind's going to tell you. But once you learn to silence your inner chatter, your listening becomes a whole different level of communicating with yourself. As you start to be comfortable in your own body, as you start to silence that inner critic, as you're not consumed with failing and or succeeding, you learn to become much more present, and you're not so connected to your anger, and you're not looking to be violated, well, then you can hear where people are coming from. Meeting people where they are, meet people where they are. The significance of that is you hear where they are. You understand where they are. You don't have an agenda for them. You don't let them disappoint you. You're not pissed off. You're not overwhelmed. I can't believe it. I don't understand why he or she, I thought he would be really good. Well, what happened is you didn't hear what happened in the first conversation. Your own agenda got in the way of hearing the message. The more that you can separate your agenda from finding out what someone else's problem is, when you start to find out what someone else's problem is, and you become a solver of their problem, a problem solver, and you can deliver value, and you start to be able to assist someone with where they are, and you can provide a service, a benefit, and a feature, and you're not so overwhelmed about how it's all going to play out. Once you get into how it's all going to play out, you're so overwhelmed, you're not hearing what is meant. And unfortunately, this is where most of society, somewhere between 90 to 95% of society, is so checked out, they don't really understand what's going on. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you out of control, as you learn to silence your inner critic, as you're less judgmental, much more objective, you're not so concerned with being positive and negative, and you're in the middle of the moment, and you're present, then your auditory skills are enhanced. And as you begin to transcend levels of consciousness, along with your awareness is your listening ability. Your listening ability is also connected to your ability to trust. When you have no separation between hearing and trust, then it's like this, then you can adapt and adjust very quickly. You can move conversations along. You can decide quickly. You can live in a K-N-O-W state, a no state. It means you know what you know and you don't doubt what you know, and you live in a present state of I am. I am a master listener. I am a master asker. I am present. I am here now. And in that state of awareness, then the game changes for you. Your emotional energetic vibration is raised. It accesses a whole different type of opportunity, situation, business value, person to your reality. People begin to show up differently because of how you've transcended the level of consciousness. You've let go of anxiety, doubt, and fear. You live in a much more relaxed state called awareness. You're not as resentful, angry. You don't reside in hate, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and specifically overwhelmed feelings. When I ask you at some point to share with one of my audiences what you do when you get overwhelmed and you say, Jeff, I don't get overwhelmed, I know you've crossed the bridge. You're on this side of prosperity. But when you say on that side of poverty over there in lack, when you live in poverty, lack, scarcity, and in very limiting beliefs, it's very challenging for you to attract your reality. People of like mind who seek success, who seek prosperity, reciprocity, those people don't show up in your wheelhouse. That relegates you in a leveraged business to attracting your reality people who believe what you believe. And when you believe there's scarcity and lack, and you're checked out because you're overwhelmed by what might happen, and you're so consumed and unorganized and undisciplined, and you continue to rebel against your success, you miss a lot of life because you're checked out. As you begin to no longer be the mind-body connection to the passive-aggressive people who criticized you, see, a lot of your inability to listen is because of how critical people were as you grew up. As people were critical of you, you began to check out. If you got picked on at the playground, you were checked out. You dreaded going to school. You dreaded doing situations. You were in an outer body experience. That's not your fault, but tonight, it's your responsibility to check in, to be present, to be here, to be now, to hear the songs that you hear when you listen to music, to really hear someone deliver a great keynote, to understand what is meant, to be able to read a situation for what it is, to be able to trust your innate ability to intuit, to trust your feelings, to hear your inner dialogue that you have with yourself, and let go of your critical advisors. As you begin to be here and be now, your auditory skills begin to change. The next time you're in a crowded situation, a restaurant, a hotel, an airport, this is a great opportunity for you to hear multiple conversations going on at one time. Sit down. Be silent. Take deep breaths. The deep breath that you take releases any anxiety you have about an outcome that hasn't happened. It also silences your inner critic. It allows you to let go of the control that keeps you, creating a familiar feeling based on a past event that keeps you overwhelmed. As you take that deep breath, it creates a whole different level of oxygen in your brain. The neurons that wire and fire together based on a familiar feeling, rather than staying collapsed, expands. It gives you a different level of emotion. It creates love, joy, bliss, enlightenment, but most importantly, awareness. Awareness is a key skill that you master, being and staying aware. It's not a how do I, it's an I am state. It's a practice state of being. The more that you practice being, the higher your emotional state of energy that you begin to transmute. As you become much more in line with being, that means you're here now, you won't be so anxious about what to do. You won't ask how-to questions. You'll know what to do because you are being that person. You won't be so attached to outcomes that haven't happened. You won't overwhelm yourself. You'll be able to trust your feelings more. And then a different type of situation, opportunity, different type of person begins to show up. Virtually the parking space at the restaurant is there for you. As you begin to live in that type of energetic, emotional, etheric energy, you will attract your reality. People are of like mind. As you start to attract your mastermind alliance, a mastermind is one of more of like mind coming together for a common cause. In a leveraged business, real estate, mortgage, insurance, network marketing, direct sales, any type of team building experience, a culture, as you start to create a tribe, as you have a culture of people, well, you are looking for the like-minded success seekers. You are looking for the law of the few in the law of the many. As you move beyond the law of attraction into the science of attraction and realize that listening is a key component in attraction, see, if you go, oh my God, he is going to be really good, that means you're already attached. You didn't hear how much anxiety that person brought to the table. You have preconceived notions about how sexy someone is, how good they're going to be. You've already started to own your disappointment. You're setting them up to disappoint you. Oh my God, I found my rock star. Rockstar, that's an energy drink that's laced with sugar. It's a term that's used over and over. In my world, there aren't rock stars. I don't look for rock stars. I look for systematic, simple, methodical people who own a business. I'm not looking for someone to come in and light it up. I'm looking for someone who has business skills. I'm not looking for someone who's flashy. I'm looking for someone who's methodical. I'm not looking for someone who does a lot of talking. I'm looking for someone who does a lot of producing. I'm not looking for someone who seeks recognition. I'm looking for someone who seeks production and results, and they'll get recognized for their results and their production. You have to hear this. You have to let go of shiny object syndrome. You have to let go of how many people will seduce you and then disappoint you. That's your responsibility to hear what's meant, not what's said. Now, I can predict a lot about people because they're predictable. Now, I'm not judgmental. I can read predictions. And the more you are able to read predictions and live in a no state, then you know the outcome. And when you know the outcome and are not attached to what you know, then you know what you know, and then there's no surprises. As you learn to live in that state of being, then you'll go, I knew it. When you knew it, it's because you know you did know. And the more you live in know, then you'll know what you know, and then you'll say, I knew it, because you were know. You were in the know. When you are in the know, that's complete trust. And then there's no separation between you and source. When there's no separation between you and source, that's synchronicity. Then you go to the telephone, pick it up to dial your grandmother, and she's already there because the brain already sent a signal. And travel across the continent, travel across the state, went down the street, went upstate New York, and went down the coast of Florida. Wherever it went, it landed right there like that instantaneously because you have become a messenger. You are so relaxed in your own body, in your state of being, in your state of listening, asking, receiving, deserving, that you don't live in the most disempowering energy that robs most success seekers of their outcome. That's guilt. As you let go of guilt, then your listening skills will be enhanced greatly. Because when you're in guilt, you're so worried about an outcome. You're worried about upsetting someone. You're worried about making a mistake. You're worried about being violated. You're worried about failing. You're worried about succeeding. You're worried about upsetting someone. You're worried about worry while you're worrying about worry. You're overwhelmed worrying about the worry that you're worrying about. And that kind of anxiety, you're so overwhelmed that you're undisciplined, you don't make your bed, you're forgetful. When you're forgetful, you can't possibly listen because you're checked out. As you learn to check in, as you're in an inner body experience, in your body, as your feet are on the ground, as your left foot, if you're right-handed, you tap it on the ground, you take a deep breath, now you're one with the universe, one with God, one with deity, one with source. You're in that whole philosophical situation of life, of meaning, and life starts to take a different level of meaning. You're in purpose. When you're in that kind of alignment, your auditory skills, your ability to articulate your feelings, it's a whole different energy you bring to the table. The law of attraction is a science. It's not only a philosophy. It's not only an idea. It's a reality. As you start to understand the reality of the law of attraction and you begin to live it, then a different type of situation begins to show up. That's when you change your expectation. The law of expectation becomes the law of your reality. And it's not mythical and magical anymore. It's practical. It's real. It's no longer a duality. It's an expectation. As you begin to live that type of life, this is when the parking spaces are there. You get upgraded for first class when you travel. A hotel room is available for you when you were told that they were sold out. When you live in a no state, you're living in a trust and an expectation state that you know what you know. In that type of energy, now you start to magnetize and polarize through centrifugal force, through the laws of gravity, through the laws of motion, through the law of alignment, that people begin to show up differently. Not only that, you hear situations differently. Your auditory skills are enhanced. I have a book that I read frequently by a woman who was a great jury picker. She was so skilled at picking juries. Her name was Jo Ellen Dimitrius, Dimitrius. She was responsible in the O.J. Simpson trial. She was hired by Johnny Cochran and Shapiro to assist her in picking a jury. And there are actually people who are that skilled at it. She is so skilled that she wrote a book called Reading People. I've honed this book for a number of years. So this is, in reading this book, this is where I picked up on the ums, the ahs, the kindas, the sortas, the guess, and the I don't know. She breaks down in great detail how to be able to listen to people's communication style. Now, I have a degree in radio and television, so I do have a huge advantage. I took the phonetic alphabet and learned the glottals and diphthongs and the tongues. And so when I learned how to enunciate with inflection, and I had an FCC license, which back in the day, to be on the radio and television, you had to pass a test to be able to be on air. And I also learned that tone and diction and how to enunciate a word and those type of energies are what create connections and people will listen to you. But when you check out and you're someone who starts a sentence and then mid-sentence you go somewhere else, or when you're someone or you know people or you witness this that ask four or five questions in a sequence because they're checked out, you want to be able to hear those questions. You want to be able to count those questions. You want to be so relaxed that you can count how many questions they ask and what they actually ask. Now, some of you have seen my great friend Ron White. I had the privilege of bringing Ron White to Weehawken in New Jersey back in the day. Alexis and I hosted Ron about 3 years ago. And some of you got to see Ron White, and I've had him on this call before. He has won the World Champion of Memory on 3 different occasions. He is also been on Guinness Book of World Records, and you can see some of his videos online. Now, he has a great memory, but he also has great attention skills. Not only does he have great attention and memory skills, but he has a system to master memory. Now, if you had a system to master memory, and you could memorize area codes because you're attentive, and you're able to remember conversations. Now, this is a key component. Many of you will say to me, you have a great memory. I don't have a great memory. I have a world-class memory, and I pride myself on it. I listen. I remember. Occasionally, I forget some things, but I remember many things. And I do have a few memory blocks, but most of what I do, I'm very good at because I tie memory with a file. I'll create a file, and I'll file that in my memory, and I'll take a word association with the situation and put it together. And the more you remember details, but if you're someone that says, my whole childhood was a blur, if you're someone that says, well, I don't remember my childhood, well, that's because you were checked out. Events shape those feelings. As you live in a know state, as you begin to know why you do what you do, you have a better understanding of cause and effect. You're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the identity that doesn't serve you. As you let go of your unresolved anger, you let go of your tendencies to avoid, as you let go of your resentment, as you let go of being guilted by family members who continue to use guilt to control you. I can't believe you would take our grandkids from us. This is a very common statement across America. Ah, you're moving to Florida? That's preposterous. How are we ever going to visit you? Well, see, if that's part of your family hierarchy, or if that's how you've been controlled, then there's a high probability that you'll check out and start defending yourself. And in that sensitive, defensive communication style, you can't possibly listen. You also have to be able to listen to how people tell stories. and have enough trust and faith in yourself to be able to interrupt someone diplomatically in mid-sentence without being consumed that you're going to offend them. The way that you interrupt someone who's going on and on while you're listening to, they didn't answer my question. How serious are you about starting a business? Well, I've never owned a business before, but I've considered it before, and I've thought about it, and you know, I went to business school, but I never graduated. I wanted to go to Wharton, but I ended up going to University of Massachusetts. I ended up getting a degree in finance, and I've had a job on Wall Street. You see, they're going on and on. That is called a drunkologue. It would be your responsibility to say, Tom, I can appreciate that you went to University of Massachusetts. My question was, how serious are you about starting a business? So when you're able to collect the answers to your questions and move the conversation either closer to you or away from you because the person doesn't qualify, then there's no rejection. There's no abandonment. And when someone's not interested, they're not interested. I've asked countless waitresses and servers, bartenders, questions, and watch them check out. Now, many people misconstrue this, and they'll say, well, don't you think she'd give him a second chance? And I went to this one seminar, and I was told that I have to contact people 7 times. Really, you're going to contact someone who's not interested 7 times? You're going to waste that kind of energy because you didn't hear what was meant? I asked a waitress recently, have you ever considered owning your own business? And she goes, I'm going to nursing school. I asked a young man in Philadelphia at a restaurant called Dante and Luigi's where I dine frequently, a sharp young man. I said, have you ever considered owning your own business? He goes, I'm going to med school. What did he do? He didn't answer my question, first of all. I didn't ask him if he's going to college. I didn't ask him if he's going to med college. I didn't ask him if he's going to school. I asked him if he's ever considered owning a business. He didn't answer my question. It was a yes-no question. That was a closed-in question that I asked on purpose to gauge a response. Gauging response means in the rules of an engagement, the laws of an engagement, you are listening to see if people qualify for your time. When you're really acutely skilled at this, you will hear what's meant. What that meant was when he said he was going to med school is he wasn't interested. I never asked him another question. Now, I've seen people go, well, don't you think you prejudged him? No. I asked him a question. He checked out. He wasn't interested. I moved on. I'm not going to ask him another question. It becomes insulting because now I'm begging. I'm convincing. That means I'm attached. And you have to be able to get beyond getting people. I want to get to this position. I want to get my 2 sales so I can be XYZ position. When you become that kind of attached, you're not hearing who's not interested. When meeting people where they are means you hear where they are. It means you listen to where they are. It means you understand it. And when you understand and meet them where they are, then there is no disappointment. When you let go of being disappointed, you'll hear why people do what they do. People are predictable, and the more you understand their predictability, the more you'll hear in their communication style how non-committed most of society are. When you're listening acutely, you will hear a few people that can answer a question effectively. They typically answer a question in less than 15 words. They're able to hear what you mean, and they're able to answer effectively. And that's the kind of person typically that has a much higher probability of producing a result because they know who they are. They're able to clearly define that in their communication style. But when you ask someone a question who checks out and they're all over the map, they don't answer the question, that person usually lives in disorganization, is overwhelmed, doesn't make their bed, is checked out, doesn't finish sentences, has commitment issues, and is probably not going to be an ideal candidate for your product, service, benefit, feature, or your business. And you want to stop chasing, begging people, and attract people who want to be in your team, who are committed to changing the quality of their life, who are serious about changing the quality of their health, who see the benefits, features, and want to take advantage of the advantages. These are the kind of people that you want to attract to your team. You want to be able to listen and remember. You want to hear what's said, you want to hear what's meant, and you want to be able to remember it. And you want to start to store a file of your prospects without having to write everything down. The next time you go to a seminar, do your best not to take notes. Now, the educational system seduced you into believing taking was a skill. And you want to let go of taking notes, and you want to be able to take note of as you are communicating with people, and you want to hear what they mean. When you're at a seminar, do your best to retain the content that you hear and then apply it. Knowledge is not power. The application of knowledge to create a result is power. And the more you live in power, power stands alone, requires no ulterior force. When you're in power, it means you're a great listener, communicator, you're a person of influence and affluence, you're in the know, and you're in the now. When you are present, your communication style improves. Your ability to listen improves. You hear what's meant. It's imperative that you start to understand that. Yeah, I'll get back with you. My challenge is I have to run it by my husband. I ask a woman today, can you close your husband? She checked out and goes, close my husband? I said, yes. Can you close your husband? Once again, that's a closed-in question. There are open-ended questions. When you say, how serious are you about starting a business from your home, you're looking for someone that says, I am serious. Well is a hole in the ground. It's a place where water's stored. It's a preposition. It's how people use language to set up a story. Typically, when someone uses a preposition to answer a question, they're going to tell you a story. That is a tell. When you ask someone a question and they use a sound that isn't a word, preposition typically follows it. They tell you a story. This is a tell. This is predictable. Human beings are predictable. The more you understand people's predictability, the more in the now, the in the know you are, the more power that you are in. When you're in power, you're not trying to force someone into your team. You're not using someone to be your counterforce to be disappointed. You're able to easily and effortlessly let someone go or move into a conversation with someone in the rules of engagement. When you are listening, remembering, you're attentive, you're able to ask the questions in a sequence and adapt and adjust to the answers. Or if someone asks you an answer or someone asks you a question, you're able to answer the question effectively without checking out. You're not concerned with making a mistake. You answer a question with a question so you can keep the conversation moving. And when you're able to do this, then you're not concerned with what to say. I don't know what to say. My biggest problem is I don't know what to say. Well, your biggest problem is you're overwhelmed before you start. It's not what to say. It's how overwhelmed you live, and how overwhelmed you live is a direct reflection of how you were never good enough for someone, so you're still playing that game out. And then you've come up with statements like, I don't know what to say. It's not what you say. It's how effective you are at asking. If you want to dine in a restaurant, do you know what to say? Do you know to call the hostess? Do you know to schedule a reservation? Well, that's an appointment. Have you ever considered asking for one of the best tables in the house? Have you ever considered asking for a booth? And then you have to be able to hear how the hostess responds to you. Well, we're really filled up at that time. I can appreciate that. Would it be possible for me to request a booth in a quiet area? You can't get what you don't ask for. Well, let me see what I can do for you. I appreciate that. And so then you have to be able to follow through with the communication. The better you become at this, you'll start to see that in your law of attraction, you'll start to attract better situations for yourself, especially when you become clear at asking and listening. Now, to become skilled at asking and listening in the same sequence, you have to let go of saying the right thing. You have to let go of being rejected. It's required that you let go of being overwhelmed, you let go of getting in trouble, you let go of making mistakes, and become effective at repetition and experience, asking the same questions over and over and adapting, adjusting, being skilled, repetition, and experience. The reason that very few people ever master this is they have a story that takes them out of the game before they start. My problem is I don't like rejection. My problem is I don't like leads. I was coaching a client Monday, and the person said the problem. See, instead of saying, I'm looking for a solution, most people edify the problem. And in edifying the problem, my client let me know that they don't have any leads. While I was communicating with them, I typed in on Google, in the Google search bar, health coaches 973 area code. I typed it up. At the top of the search engine, I went down three places, clicked on a website. That website took me to a website in the 973 area code that had 26 health coaches with their phone number, with their website, with a picture, and a very short bio. I said, here you go. And here's what she said. I couldn't call those leads. She checked out. That's what most people do. They check out instead of go, oh, my God, that was a great idea. What she heard was rejection. What I heard was this is a great opportunity. See, this is what many people do. They prejudge a situation before they even understand the value of it. And so many people tell me, I don't have leads. Oh, I couldn't call those kinds. Why not? Why couldn't you? Why, you'll go buy leads rather than create your own? Creating leads requires innovation and creativity. I once had an accountant tell me he couldn't find any leads. So I typed in on Google, accountant seeking employment. Oh, I couldn't call those people. So what he heard was rejection. That's what many people do, is they hear based on a past event. They'll interrupt me or you in mid-sentence while you're giving them value. They check out, get overwhelmed. How many of you do this? And receive this tonight. Let go. Let go of your control. See an opportunity for what it is instead of what it isn't. Stop taking yourself out of the game before you even get in it. Let go of being rejected and abandoned. Teach yourself a skill of engagement, asking, listening. What difference where the lead comes from? What matters is that the lead becomes a teammate, and the teammate and you create a win-win situation, and the win-win situation, the two of you max out a compensation plan. What matters is if the customer, the client, gets a result on the product, benefit, and feature, and they go out and they're able to convey the value of that experience. That's what matters. But when you focus so much on what you don't have, who's not giving you the love, and you're not in the right place in the upside-down reverse pay plan, you're not in the power team, the power leg, your sponsor's not giving you love, shut up and produce. I almost put the F word in there. Shut up and produce. Now, I don't get annoyed. I watch people, how annoying people are. I'm not annoyable, but I watch how they are annoying because they whine a lot. If you're a chronic whiner and a complainer, you're not attractive. So if you want to be attractive, whining is not attractive. I know some of you are going, yeah, say it, tell them, deliver it. That's true. If you're a whiner, that's not attractive. I don't whine, I don't complain, I produce. Producing is attractive. And if you want to be attractive and attract other like-minded success seekers, it's your energy that's attractive first. That's the first situation. You can be attractive on the outside, but it's your inner attractiveness that's the law of attraction. That's what you're looking to attract, people who are productive, people of like mind, people who are self-directed, people who are able to see a situation for what it is and produce in it. You're looking for people who have a very relaxed, productive energy style, that they can come into your team and with very little fanfare, no drama, no chaos, they will come in and create a situation in a very relaxed environment. That's what you're looking for. People that have no drama, no chaos, aren't overwhelmed, have emotional discipline, people who are organized, detailed, systematic, and methodical. Those are the kind of people that inch by inch, it's a cinch. But the people who are yard by yard, it's hard for them. They want instant gratification. You're looking for people who create results, and through results, they get recognized, not instant gratification. That's a whole different type of energy. As you start to become the person you're capable of, and you become a master listener, master aster, you master your emotions, you're here, you're now, you'll attract your reality, a whole different type of situation, opportunity. One of my clients sent me tonight that she was able to create two consultants in her particular pay plan. She didn't say she got people to, she created them, the law of creation. So when you start to do that, and I can see her evolving, I can see her changing. She's less attached to the outcome. She's starting to recruit, want to be success seekers, and people who will take advantage of the products and services. Instead of the addicted dieters, the people who whine and complain, and they get headaches easily and effortlessly, you should be hearing for that person. When you're communicating with people and people are whining before they start, that doesn't qualify for your time. When someone brings their difficulty into your first conversation, that's a tell. That's a clue. But if you beg that person into the business, if you seduce that person into the business, or you convince them and you tell them that 24/7, baby, I'll give you the shirt off my back, I'll be there for you, well, that means you have no boundaries. That means you've already set this client up to fail them, and that means that their success is dependent on your control. As you no longer are in control of the control that keeps keeps you out of control, you'll be able to hear this up front. You'll go, wow, this is not the right person for me. Also, as you learn to take the business and the product and service away from those type of people, it creates a different experience in their chemistry. They start to fear what they lose, and if they do start, they start in a different situation than if you begged and convinced them. When you're able to easily and effortlessly not be concerned with the outcome and not attached, you'll be able to walk away from people you should walk away from because you hear that they're a problem. When you bring someone to a problem into your business, they're going to be a problem in the business until they leave a problem. And they're going to create problems for you. And if you're addicted to that kind of person to create your conflict so you can be the force and the counterforce in a relationship, then you're going to be exhausted. And if you have a team of drama and chaos like this, well, look in the mirror because it's what you're emotionally addicted to. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, as you easily and effortlessly let go of words like hard, oh, this is so difficult, oh, my problem is, no, your solution is the solution. The solution is to live in the solution. The solution is to create results. The solution is to produce. One of my best clients that I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with said to me earlier in her career, she said, what is wrong with these people? And I used to say, well, they're Americans, number one. Number two, they're commitment phobic. And number three, they're not going to stay in the game long enough to ever master the skills to be successful. Most of society. But you're not looking for most of society. You're looking for the 20%. You're looking for the 4%, the 1%, the LOF, the law of the few. Because there's such a vast number of people in society, there's an endless supply of people for you to connect, attract to your reality. There's an endless supply of people who are seeking what you have. There's an endless supply. That's the law of plenty. But if you live in lack, scarcity, and poverty consciousness, you'll attract your reality people that believe what you believe. As you begin to let go of that kind of anxiety and live in a prosperity consciousness, you live in the flow, you're in the hands-free zone, you're in the zone, you're here and you're now, you become a master listener, a master asker, you're going to create a whole different dialogue with yourself as you create that different dialogue with others. If you change your self-talk and you start to really hear what's meant, not said, as you become a master asker and a master listener, as you start to develop your auditory skills, you're able to differentiate between facts and fiction. You hear what meant, not said. You're able to differentiate between the people who are serious and curious, the people who are committed, the people who are interested. You'll be able to hear differently. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. If you are seeking a free 15-minute coaching call, go directly to my Facebook page on my profile in the Instant Messenger. Send me your phone number and what you're seeking, what you'd seek to receive from me in a 15-minute coaching call. If you're on tonight's call, I also just released the Closers Clinic. This is 20-plus hours of content. Part one is the Closer Accelerator. It includes 5 videos that will assist you to understand why you have challenges closing and how to overcome your anxiety about asking for a commitment. Part two, 10 modules to assist you with the inner game of connecting and closing. This content will assist you to release your anxiety and stay in your power. You'll be able to master asking, identify and close the 4 main personality types, and neutralize the 5 most common objections to close transactions. Part three, 6 individual modules that will assist you with closing mindset, meaning that closing becomes who you are and what you do. Closing is synonymous with finishing, and also there are 9 different bonus training programs, 7 steps to increasing your closing ratio, how to lead a prospect through a close, how to become master at overcoming objections, and how to close with power. Not with force, but with power. This was a Labor Day weekend value at $97. You may access this tonight for $97. It's a $9.97 value. You may access tonight by going to this website, www.closersclinic.com. For $97, you will have multiple hours of content, exceptional value, and you'll be able to take advantage of this and turn it into a result. The content that I share and contribute is results-oriented. The content that I deliver for you is so you can create prosperity. You can create value and service in yourself, but most importantly, so you can be compensated and teach the laws of compensation. My name is Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Next week, I'll have some fabulous content for you. You have an outstanding evening. Once again, if you'd like to receive a free 15-minute coaching call, send me your number on Facebook and what you're seeking to achieve through that collaboration, and I will get back to you in a relatively short period of time. Thanks, everyone, and have a great evening.